I want to focus today on faith, but last week we talked about faith sees the invisible. And that is, God created the world, and we know that behind the creation, God was the one creating. So it was the invisible force behind. We also looked at two Old Testament characters, Abel and Enoch, both acted on their faith, and they were rewarded by God. And then we finished the sermon by talking about the only way to please God is through faith. You can't please God any other way. It has to be by faith. Pistos in the Greek, meaning complete trust and reliance upon Christ. That's the only way you can ever get into a right standing or to please God in any level. Today I want to talk about something that's important. And I know it looks like James says that if you don't have works, you're not saved. That's not what James is saying. Actually saying furthest from the truth, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But first of all, James says words are worthless, and he asks a question, and this is a huge question. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So there's several things we need to unpack here. First of all, the word good refers to profitable or value. So if we read it this way, what value is it? What does it profit if somebody says they have faith, but they don't have works to go along with that faith? And by the way, the word says means claims. So in other words, what profit is it, my brother, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? You see how this is starting to unpack, but does not have works. The faith is qualified for James and his thought. Faith is qualified, or the test of true faith is there works attached to that faith? But it's not the works that we actually think about. I know there's helping people and doing all those things, and James definitely talking about that. But what James is more concerned about here is the person that says, I have trusted in Jesus Christ, but you never see any evidence of Jesus living in them, working out in their lives. It's the person who has a profession of faith, but not the acts of faith. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things. That flows out of a life who has been redeemed. So much so that D. Edmund Hibbert says this, James does not mean a legalistic works as a means of salvation, but rather ethical and social activities that spring out of a true faith. Key point, James is attacking a verbal profession of faith that produces no change of character or conduct. Here's the point. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something radical happens inside you. You are radically changed. And you may not feel it initially. It may not all of a sudden come out, but something inside of you will change. There's no doubt about that. And James is saying, he's asking a question. And he's actually referring here to, can that faith save him? The word save means divine salvation. And let me rephrase what James is saying. Does that faith really project somebody who has trusted in Jesus Christ? If you don't see anything coming out of the person, which when the Holy Spirit is implanted in your heart, the seed is implanted, that begins to grow and begins to work itself out. And James is saying, well, you can make a profession all you want, but that doesn't necessarily equate to salvation. And now he goes on and he gives an illustration of what he's saying. So he questions. You say you have faith. You say you've trusted in Jesus Christ. But I don't see any works in your life. I don't see any fruit. I don't see Jesus coming out. I don't see anything. What I hear is worldly stuff. What I hear is this, that, and the other coming out of you. And then he gives the illustration. Now watch this. And it's a social issue. By the way, there was mass, in Jerusalem, there was mass poverty in the Jerusalem church. So he would have hit on a real good subject here for them to grasp this concept. If a brother or sister, now who are we talking about? We're talking about believers within the body of Christ. If a brother or sister in the church is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving him the things he needs for the body, what value is that? What value is that? So if we look at this a little bit, and by the way, some scholars call this James' little proverb because he's telling here a little story. He's saying this, that if you can honestly look at a person in the church who is in need and do nothing, what kind of faith do you practice? Where are you at in your life? Go in peace was a phrase that basically meant, go, may God meet your need. Basically what it meant. You look at the person. You look at a person who is homeless, or not homeless, but does not have food, does not have the necessities in the church. And you look at them and you say, go, may God meet your needs. Let me just tell you something. And you may not agree with what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I think it's absolutely true. I've heard people say, well, I know that there's this need in the church, but I'm going to pray about it before I meet that need. You know what I think? That's a fancy way of saying you're not going to act on faith. When there is a need in the church and you see it, you should meet it. I'm going to tell you that. Point blank, straight out. Because James isn't questioning. He's saying, how can you say that you trust Jesus Christ and you can see somebody in the church that has a need and you're going to go home and you're going to spiritualize by praying about meeting a need? No. James says, uh-uh. Because he's saying it right here. He said, look, if you can do that, don't try to spiritualize your non-action. Don't try to just, you know, you go home and say, should we meet this need? Let's pray about this. Oh, well, I don't think we're supposed to meet the need. Yeah, you are. If you see it, meet it. Particularly if somebody in the church needs something, don't pass the buck. Don't kick it on to somebody else. Although God can use that. But you know what? That's what faith does. Faith sees. Faith has compassion. You know that you were in poverty when Jesus Christ saved you. You were spiritually in poverty. And Jesus said, I want you. I'm going to take you right where you are. And he saved you. That should translate into our living out the Christian faith. You notice James didn't say here, he didn't say go home and pray about it. He didn't say that. What he said is, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you should say to them, go, let God meet your needs. And by the way, if you want a paraphrase of be warmed and filled, it basically means this. Go ahead. I'm going to pray that God meets your need. And by the way, pull up your bootstraps and get your own stuff. Because the individual is left to try to work it out on their own. That's not what it says. And oftentimes, what I feel like we do is, we try to spiritualize not helping by saying God's not calling us to meet that need. I would say this, when you see it, God's put it in front of you, that is your chance to act on faith. And I know outside the church a little bit different. We're talking about inside the church, a brother or sister. Nobody in the church should ever go hungry or lacking clothing or a place to sleep. Nobody in the church should go through that. There, if somebody comes in the church and they need something, we should meet that need. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. James says, "How you know, you say you got faith, but really what you have is worthless words. You don't really have faith. You've got some different Jesus, some different way of your different conception of Jesus Christ. Words are worthless like faith minus works. I like how James puts this. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith, complete reliance on Christ. Works is task or good deed. And the word dead refers to utterly useless. Utterly useless. You said, Pastor, are you talking here about faith plus works equals salvation? No. Let me reiterate something here. What I am talking about is a faith that is actively working. A faith that is actively working. Because it says here, faith also by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. it's about as worthless as a lottery ticket that didn't win. What do you do with a lottery ticket that doesn't win? You throw it out. That's exactly the kind of faith James is talking about. It's worthless. It's you don't nothing going on in your life, nothing going on in your heart. You can walk through and you can see somebody meeting a need, or even worse is when God tells you to do something and you don't do it. How many of you have been in that boat? Yep, thank you. Thank you. All of us have been in that boat at times. God tells you to do something and you just, I can't do it. That's a dead faith. Not that you've lost your salvation, but that's time you didn't get a reward like we talked about last week. Let me just say this. Do you know that you were created in Jesus Christ for good works? By the way, this is Ephesians 2:10, but you know what goes in front of Ephesians 2:10? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. But at the other end of it, you are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Jesus Christ, when he called us to salvation, he didn't call us just to sit and do nothing in our Christian walk. He didn't call us just to sit and kick back and soak and bask in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, I'm going to live with that and I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not sure that's salvation, actually. And he talks about, you later on we're going to get in this text about you do well. Even the demons believe that kind of proposition. When you get saved, when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something happens inwardly. And that inward happening is referred to in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Words are worthless like faith minus works. Then he gets into the argument. In 18 and 20. Let's look at it. But someone will say, someone who is not following Jesus, someone who is not working for Jesus, somebody that is not living out their faith, listen to what he says. But someone will say, okay, you have faith, but I have works. Or you could say it this way, I have works and you have faith. Now watch. Show means to demonstrate, by the way, in the Greek. Demonstrate your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Brothers and sisters, when you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you took a step, didn't you? Somebody presented the gospel to you. You just didn't go. No, you said, hey, wait a minute, I believe that. I'm going to take a step of faith, and you took a step. Because as far as I remember, salvation means you hear the gospel and you put your trust in Jesus Christ, which means you trust him and ask him to come into your heart. That is a work that you do by trusting and bringing him in. Do you know the rest of the Christian life is exactly that pitch and catch scenario? That when God tells you to do something, you do it. When you hear the voice of God, you do it. And that is the all the way through. Your salvation was no accident. God called you to salvation through Jesus Christ. And you responded by that act of faith, or you could say that leap of faith, that work of faith, whatever you want to call it. It was an act of faith. You trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And from that moment on, that's how it goes the rest of the Christian walk. God calls you, and you step out. You see somebody that has a need in the church, meet it. Don't go home and pray about it. Now, there may be times you may not have the money to meet it. I get that. Well, ask somebody else in the church. You know, say, hey, look, I really don't have the money right now, but I do want to pray with the person. But most of us, we'll see people, and we'll go, No, I'm not gonna mess with that. This is not talking about those outside the church, but we should be sensitive to those outside the church as well. Ronald Blue in his commentary, says this: flimsy faith is dead, so are empty, faithless works. James' argument is not pro-works, anti-faith, or pro-faith, anti-works. He has simply said that genuine faith is accompanied by good works. Spiritual works are the evidence, not the energizer, of a sincere faith. In other words, you can do all the little things you want to do. You can feed the poor, you can give to the homeless, and you can help people across the street. You can cut grass your neighbor's yard. You can bake brownies. You can do all these things, and you can miss the kingdom of God because you don't have faith. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you've got to put the, and I, yeah, this is my little picture here. Faith and works, they work together. When you have faith as the foundation of your life, trust in Jesus Christ, and you are created in Christ Jesus for good works, the rest of the Christian life, as I understand it, is that faith is the foundation. Then you begin stepping out on faith and following Him and doing good deeds. But you do not do good deeds to justify your salvation. I want you to understand that. There's a lot of legalists running around this world today that will sit back and say, well, you know, if you're not doing this, that, well, you could be doing this, that, and the other, but not have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The issue here is that when Jesus comes in, something happens at some point in your life, somewhere down the road, there's going to be some evidence of an inward change. Isn't that right? And if there is no fruit in the Christian's life, then you start questioning what? The root. Jesus said we're to be fruit inspectors, not root inspectors. Fruit inspectors say, this is what a Christian looks like outwardly. This is how they act. So if you can be so callous as to see people in the church or wherever, and you can just kind of turn away from that, and you're talking all about worldly stuff all the time, every day, and there's nothing of Jesus coming out, that should put a question mark. That's what James is saying. Some of you are running around Jerusalem acting like you're holier than thou, but you're not even acting on your faith because you're not even associating with these people. You're shunning them. You're not meeting their needs. I could see where James has got a question mark going on. Can't you? Somebody says, I'm a born-again believer. I love Jesus. And they never read their Bible, they never go to church, they never get involved in church, you never hear spiritual things coming out of their mouths. I'm going to tell you, I'm a pastor, 27 years of ministry, and I'm going to tell you the first thing I'm thinking. I'm thinking this person doesn't know Jesus Christ. You will not ride your parents' coattail into the kingdom of God. Just because your mom and dad's a member of this church or your brother and sister's a member of this church, you're not connected to the kingdom of God because of that. You've got to come to faith in Jesus Christ on your own. And you got to trust in Him. Now notice what he goes on to say. I want you to remember this. Faith will always spring to action through works. That's exactly what James is saying. He's not saying faith plus works equals salvation. He's saying that if you have salvation, works will follow. We're not talking legalistic works. We're talking about the inward voice when God says to you, do this. Somebody said this week on Wednesday night, you know, Pastor, I was driving and was going to go to the library, and bam, God spoke to me, and they sent me an email. A wonderful email. It really helped me. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. God's inward voice telling you to do something, and you step out and do it. And it could be something as simple as you overhear a conversation, somebody in the church, and they say, you know what? I'm really struggling right now with this area. And you come up and you say, you know what? I'm going to meet that. Isn't it interesting that faith gets us outside of ourselves? Faith always gets us outside of ourselves, because Jesus Christ is always having us move and go forward in our faith and grow deeper in our faith. Now notice what James says in verse 19. You believe that God is one. He's probably thinking here, this is probably a Gentile audience, monotheism. It could be that he's talking about the Trinity. God is one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You choose which one you think's best. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you know what every demon knows? Every demon knows that there is a God. But they can't get saved. And they're not doing the works of God. What is a demon's job? A demon's job is to keep people from trusting in Jesus Christ. The demon also knows very well why they shudder, which means tremble. Do you know why they tremble? Because they know the end game. And the end game is that Satan, demons, and all those who have rejected Jesus Christ one day are going to be thrown into a lake of fire and they're going to burn for eternity. Now, if you say, I believe God, do you know what? You have the same faith that a demon has. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you believe God's one. That's good. That ain't far enough. In fact, you've got the same faith that a demonic spirit has, and therefore, where do you think you're going to come into the camp? You're going to come into the camp in the lake of fire. Have you ever had people say this, I believe God? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? No, but I believe God. And the demons who are in the spiritual realm understand the significance of where they are in their relationship to God than the people do here on this earth. Because the demon knows and Satan knows that the game is over and the end result is God's going to bind them one day and throw them into the lake of fire. And by the way, I've heard people profess to me that it's going to be one big party in hell. I've actually had people tell me that. There's not going to be a party in hell. There's going to be pain, suffering, torment. But James is saying, okay, you say you got faith, but I don't see any evidence of that faith being worked out. And then he says, do you want to be shown, or you want me to demonstrate to you, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Now, James isn't necessarily, at least the language doesn't necessarily mean that James is mad. Now James is trying to teach them something. True faith includes spiritual action, and Abraham was justified by his faith. This is not the one Paul uses. Remember, Paul used the one where God called him and said, would you step out and leave your country and I will make you the father of many nations. He didn't use that one. He used the second one. So this is not an isolated incident in the life of Abraham. This is a lifestyle of Abraham. You catch this. Abraham made mistakes, yes. And he messed up but at the core level, he listened and followed God every step along the way. And just like you, he's going to make mistakes and trip up. But watch this. Was not Abraham our father, he's probably shifting back to the Jews now, justified, or didikaio in the Greek, meaning shown to be righteous. Now watch this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Do you remember that story in the book of Genesis? Can you imagine? I want you to think for a minute. I'm just refueling. I want you to think. God tells Abraham in Genesis, I want you to take your son, and I want you to build an altar, and I want you to put him on it and offer him as a sacrifice. Can you imagine Abraham's dilemma? As he's walking to the altar, or going up to the mountain to the altar where he's getting ready to offer his son, he's thinking, this is hard. And he places him up on the altar, and Isaac is there, and Abraham's there. And Abraham draws his knife up. And he starts to move it down, and God says, no, wait. Abraham had passed the test. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God's going to call you to do something that is going to be very, 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 very difficult to do. Usually the greater the difficulty, the greater the reward. And usually when God calls us, and I understand, and I'm just imposing what a human father with his children would think. And I could almost think how Abraham's walking up there. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to kill my child? How am I going to put it? And I know that there's times that God calls you to do stuff. There's times that God calls you to do stuff and you go, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I got the... But you know what God really wants? He wants you to struggle. Yes, you're going to struggle with that stuff. But when the dust settles at the end of the day, you go, okay, God, I'm going to step out because you told me. Now, brothers and sisters, that is mega faith working through works. That is somebody that has truly trusted in Jesus Christ and is willing to follow them to the great lengths to do it. And you notice, yeah, it was a big call. It was a big call, but he could have used Paul's illustration. What I want you to see here, he could have used Paul's illustration when he said, if you just leave your country and go out, I'm going to bless you. Well, he did. He left. But we're looking at a lifetime. We're looking at a lifetime of a working faith in Abraham where he just said, okay, okay, okay. And I realize, and Abraham would, if he was here today, he would tell you, I messed up. Of course, you wouldn't be able to understand it because he's speaking in Hebrew, but he would tell you that I have made mistakes and did make mistakes. But he was also called a friend of God. So when God tells you to do something, brothers and sisters, and you do it, you're a friend of God. And I get it. Sometimes God calls you to do some stuff and you don't want to do it, and I understand it. Now notice what he says, verse 22. You see that the faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. There's a compliment. If I could give you my translation of it, just do what God tells you to do. When God tells you to do something, just do it. And it proves that your faith in Christ is genuine. You see that, he says, verse 24, you see that that, now here's where it gets off track for some people. You see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. I know what you're thinking. You've heard me use the word justified 100 times from this pulpit. And I've always told you that the word justified means more than just as if I never sinned. It means total acquittal of charges. But here's the thing. That's not the word James uses here. If I read it this way, tell me if it makes more sense. You see that a person is believed to be right by works and not faith alone. In other words, what he's saying is you have proven your faith by your works. And sometimes it's not a big loud voice, I want you to go here and then I want you to sell this and buy that. That's not usually the way it works. If it is, please see me after church. I'd like to get to know you a little better. That's just not the way it normally works. The way it normally works is you live your Christian life and you get circumstances and situations that come into your life, and God is requiring you to know the word so that you know how to respond to those situations and circumstances in life. Oh, I'd love it. And I loved it in my call. Well, I didn't love it. It scared me to death. But it still counted. When he gave me that dream, I woke up from that dream and I knew clearly I had to surrender the ministry. that was not just one of those for chance dreams. That was a dream where I knew specifically God had called me to the ministry, and I that was Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I woke up screaming. Audrey said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I got to surrender to the ministry." Walked down to the altar the next Sunday, the very next Sunday that I could, and I surrendered my life to the ministry. And that was one time I knew it was God for sure. And then there's other times you've got these circumstances and situations out there that you've got to act on based on the Word of God. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, brothers and sisters. If you do not know the Word of God, you don't know how to act. But if you know the Word of God, you can go, "Whoa, whoa, wait, I know what God wants me to do here." I used to laugh at those people that wore those WWJD. I used to always call it, "What would Jim do?" But you know, I can understand that. I can understand what would Jesus do. I can get that. Because as I've grown in a pastor, most people that I come in contact with aren't as astute in the Bible as you guys are and gals. I mean, they're doing good to get John 3:16. So when a situation comes up, yeah, I guess they could wear that around. What would Jesus do? Well, you got to be careful because you still have to know the Word. But you get my point, though. True faith includes spiritual action. Abraham was one of them. Well, we have another one. How Rahab also. You remember Rahab, right? She was the prostitute that was not good enough for the kingdom of God, yet she's in the lineage of Jesus. And in the same way, was not Rahab also the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and that were sent out and sent them out by another way? Of course, this is Joshua. You remember Joshua wanted to find out what was going on in the city. So Joshua said, I want two spies to go out into the land, and I want you to go check it out and see if we can attack them and if we'll be victorious. Guess where they found themselves? At the home of a prostitute. That's where they wound up. And you know what this prostitute did? She took them in. Do you know what could have happened to her if they would have been found in there? She would have been killed. She stepped out. And from that single act, as far as I know in Scripture, from that single act, she became a believer in God and Christ at that time as best she could. And she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Savior. God will take anyone at any time, anywhere, if they are willing to trust Him by faith. And I've heard people say, "Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past." God doesn't care about the past. He will clean you up at the moment you trust in Jesus Christ and make you fit for the kingdom of God. Example. There's other examples in the Old Testament of people you would think, no way could that person ever be in the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, they are. By the way, if God spoke through a donkey, He can pretty much do what He wants to do. And then he closes this down. Watch this. "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. When you die, your spirit leaves," and that's what causes the body to cease. You die. The spirit's gone. James' point is saying, his point is that if you don't have the spirit, you're dead spiritually. You see this? Because as long as when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, Jesus comes out. That's all I'm saying. Spent 38 minutes saying all that just for that. How does salvation work? That should be work, not works. "And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God." Believe means not only he listened but obeyed. "And it was accounted to him as righteousness." and he was called a friend of God. The whole Christian life is trusting in God, trusting in Christ, and then living it out by faith. I realize I am preaching to the choir today, and a lot of you are doing this. But the Christian life is simply listening to God. And you know the little impressions that God puts in your heart and on your mind. And then you say, you have a choice. You have a choice to act on it. And when you do that, you're justified. That is, your faith proves to be genuine. But if you say you got faith and there's nothing going on out here, James puts a big question mark by it. It's not that James is saying faith plus works equals salvation, but that faith springs works and helps. And as a pastor of 27 years, I have been the benefactor of many people's obedience to God. Where you'll give me money, you'll give me something, God laid it on your heart, you gave it. I've seen it, and I've seen people and have them experience it. Many of you, this church is one of the best giving churches. You're a friendly church. But I want to encourage all of us to keep listening and keep moving forward in our Christian faith.